in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
That was good stuff right there.
Oh, yeah. We had billboards. That thing was up everywhere. I still have relatives who still talk about this picture. But all we had on was dark socks. Now, at the photo shoot, you should know we were wearing boxer shorts.
Everybody but me.
Everybody but you. Buck was sitting there just flailing. It was ridiculous.
As nasty as can be.
Put some clothes on, man.
Look at PK.
But everyone else is standing around in their boxer shorts. And just hanging, and then there's Buck. Hey, man.
I thought it was the locker room. I thought it was going to be like a locker room scene, BK.
And then
what do you want me to do?
Then there's Honig all up on you like
and
that.
And he's all real close to me.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9, AM 1260, and hornfm.com. With the Longhorns play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
Friday on the Horn. It'll be 102 degrees in Austin, Texas today. Enjoy that. Cool off a little bit this weekend with a chance for a shower or two. About a 50% shout tomorrow. But today, mostly sunny, high 102 and muggy to boot on this final day of the week, 23 June. A lot going on. Previewing or reviewing now the NBA's draft and what went on draft night. We'll continue to do that. We'll talk to Ari Temkin from ESPN San Antonio, where the Spurs going to trade LaMarcus Aldridge in the coming days. There's a report of talks with the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll get you details and get Ari's take from the Alamo City. Also, we've got to try to check in again, connect with our friend Dave Pels, the short game guru, find out what's next for Phil Mickelson, his caddy Bones after 25 years together, his take on that, and get some golf tips from one of the best ever. And Dave Pels. Also, we'll hit our salacious gossip. We really got to try to get to the bottom of this French Instagram model who was killed by a whipped cream container. We got to figure
dead.
That out.
She's dead.
But I got to figure that out. We need an autopsy of some kind. Plus, you saw the movie American Sniper, right?
I did.
There's a new record. Got to tell you about this sniper and this shot. Took out I'll just give it to you instead of teasing you on that one. Okay. Listen to this story before we get to our headlines. A Canadian sniper set what appears to be a record by picking off an ISIS fighter from some 2.2 miles away.
With a gun? With a rifle?
And disrupting a potentially deadly operation by the terror group in Iraq. Shooting experts say the fatal shot at a world record distance of 11,316 feet.
I can't see that far.
Underscores how stunningly sophisticated military snipers are becoming. The Special Forces sniper from Canada's Joint Task Force 2 smashed the previous distance record for a successful sniper shot by some 3,280 feet. So you can take someone out from 2.2 miles away?
That's a long range shot, brother. Like
we're up here on the fourth floor. That's like taking someone out at the mall.
That's what I mean. Yeah, you're getting them from
Barton
the mall.
Creek Mall. We're up here at Lost Creek and 360. I got to think that's about 2 miles.
I can't see that far. I mean, only Colt McCoy can see with his vision. Can
the
see
leaves
that
on
far.
Trees?
Yes, I can't see that far.
Dang, man, that is awesome. That is crazy. But so we'll let you marinate on that a little bit. And then, yes, we're going to try to get to the bottom of the French Instagram model who was killed by her whipped cream container. Horrible,
still
horrible
not getting
accident.
That.
Me either. We'll try to do our due diligence on that deal. Let's get you the headlines. Ticket City Update Desk headlines brought to you by UBO Business Services. In the NBA draft last night, as expected, a lot of freshmen, one-and-doners picked, and certainly a couple of Pac-12 point guards went 1-2. Philadelphia takes Washington point guard Markel Fultz with the number one overall pick. Lakers followed by taking UCLA's Lonzo Ball, that's right, big baller brand, drafted by Big Magic Johnson and the Lakers. After that, it was a run of seven more freshmen. Celtics took Duke's Jason Tatum at number three. Suns took Josh Jackson out of Kansas. Sacramento took Kentucky guard and Houston area product De'Aaron Fox with the fifth pick. Nine of the first 10 selections played just 1 year of college ball, including the Mavericks selection. At number nine, NC State point guard Dennis Smith Jr. Spurs owned the 29th pick in the first round for the second straight year, and for the second straight year, they took a point guard. They nabbed Colorado senior point guard Derek White with that pick. Last year, they took DeJounte Murray in the very same spot. Brooklyn Nets had the 22nd pick last night.
And with the 22nd pick in the 2017 NBA draft, the Brooklyn Nets select Jared Allen from the University of Texas.
Jared Allen was asked afterwards, once he was made the pick of the Brooklyn Nets, what he thinks his role will be in the NBA?
I see my role being the rim protector, me being athletic, be able to guard guards and pick and rolls too.
All right, we'll see. Year one for the former Longhorn now. And a blockbuster move of the night, Chicago traded All-Star Jimmy Butler and the 16th overall pick to Minnesota for high flyer Zach LaVine, point guard Chris Dunn, and the number 7 pick, which became Arizona sharpshooter Lauri Markkanen. To baseball, Carlos Gomez homered twice, drove in 5. Rangers beat the Blue Jays 11-4 yesterday on a hot one in Arlington. They pull back to 500. They're now going to play 20 of their next 26 games away from Arlington. Probably good with the heat, but a lot of road games. They'll start tonight in the Bronx. 3-game set with Bucky's Yankees. Astros, first team to 50 wins in the MLB. They finished off a 4-game sweep of Oakland yesterday with a 12-9 win. They improved to 50-24. Josh Reddick with 3 hits and scored 4 times. Jake Marisnik homer, drove in 3, as did Marwin Gonzalez. Houston now heads up the coast to Seattle for a weekend series with the Mariners. Round Rock opened their series with Iowa with a 4-1 win. Will Middlebrooks hit a pair of home runs last night, drove in 3. Same 2 tonight on a Bud Light Fireworks Friday from Dell Diamond. You'll hear it right here on the Horn. College World Series in Omaha. How about TCU? Horn Frogs stave off elimination last night for the second time this week with a nail-biting 4-3 win over Louisville. That eliminates the Cardinals, and the Horned Frogs advance to the Final Four. They'll face unbeaten Florida in a semifinal game tonight at 7. Frogs must beat the Gators twice to reach the championship series next week. In the NFL, Oakland to be Las Vegas Raiders quarterback Derek Carr finalized a new 5-year contract extension that is the richest contract ever in the NFL, $25 million per year over 5, which just edges out the deal that Andrew Luck signed with the Colts just a year ago. In golf, Jordan Spieth finished Thursday's first round of the PGA Travelers Championship in good form. How about a 63 at the TPC River Highlands course in Cromwell, Connecticut? Spieth made 8 birdies, 1 bogey, finished at 7 under in his debut at that course, lowest first round of his PGA Tour career. And that's the news, presented by UBO Business Services.
There you have it. Hydrate yourself well today. If you're going out there, there's not going to be a joke, and the sun is just starting to come up right now to all this hazy. So for those that are going to be outdoors today and even throughout the weekend, please be careful. We may get rain. We may not get rain. So, and I'm telling you, the heat today is going to be unbelievable. It's already
oppressive.
Yes.
Yeah, it was muggy this morning to get going, and it's going to heat up. And 102 with high humidity. And we were told it was National Hydration Day, and that's a good tip. Hydrate yourself.
Be careful with your pets and your kids and all that stuff too. You can't go anywhere. You can't leave anybody in the car. You can't leave the dog in the car with the window rolled down for 10 minutes or so. Just forget it. Don't do it. Leave the dog at home.
Or take him to dinner with you.
Oh, hell no. That dog can't come to dinner. That dog can't come out and sit on the bed. This is the ultimate time for dog pecker flies right now. We're at the height with the humidity.
This is dog pecker fly season?
Yes, we're in the middle of dog pecker fly season. You can't have that dog all laid out and the flies all over.
While you're trying to eat your tacos.
Oh.
It's our prime listening time, and we get this conversation.
Well, it's the truth, and you know it, and I know some of you folks that have dogs at your establishments, it's a good thing because dog is man's best friend, and we should be nice to the pups. But this is the height of dog pecker fly time, and you've got to be careful.
Gone all week, working, it's the weekend, you want to take your dog out with you to dinner.
No, you feed the dog at the house, and then you go out to dinner with your family and leave the dog, you know, where the dog should be, at the house, even in the air conditioning. But
that's
dog at the restaurant,
friend,
right beside you, underneath the table, accumulating dog pecker flies, this is not a good thing. We need to stop that. We need a moratorium on dogs at restaurants, okay? We need to stop that. Unless you can't see, unless you're bumping into tables and stuff like that, leave the dog at home.
We'll take your thoughts. But first, let's go to the Bob Steak and Chop House hotline. No dogs allowed at Bob's, I can tell you that. But how about Ari Temkin? Ari Temkin, ESPN San Antonio. We previewed the draft in the week with him earlier in the week, and now the Spurs have made their pick, and there's talk of trades. Ari, how you doing?
Bucky E, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
Doing good, buddy. Doing good. Let's start. We'll get to the draft pick because, Colorado point guard. But let's start with the rumors of LaMarcus Aldridge and potentially Danny Green on the move. What are you hearing in San Antonio on the latest on that front?
Well, it's funny because yesterday when we talked, I had mentioned that I'd heard from a couple of people that they were actively looking to trade LaMarcus Aldridge. And then, of course, the news came out, later that was the case. Stephen A. Smith yesterday on First Take said that he was LaMarcus was unhappy here. He felt he was being underutilized, and you take that with a grain of salt because it's Stephen A. Smith. Sam Amick reported later for USA Today Sports, the same kind of thing. So, you know, it's hard to believe that there's not some fire here from this smoke with LaMarcus Aldridge being unhappy in San Antonio, and it certainly fits the profile from some of the stories that came out, obviously, when he was in Portland, and then, you know, from his time in Austin as well. So he's got to go. I think that's the ultimate thing. If he's unhappy and he's bad for that locker room, then that's not a – you just have to get rid of him, and that's not a leverageable position for the Spurs. So I don't think this is good news. You know, I think a lot of Spurs fans look at that and think, you know, man, that'd be great to trade him. But I don't – you know, that based on the fact that these reports are coming out and the rest of the league knows that, there's just not a good leveraging spot for the Spurs, so they're not going to get fair market value for him. But with that being said, I mean, if he's – really feels like he's not being utilized properly and he's being underutilized, they just have to get rid of him. They can't keep him. They have to trade him because he can win a bunch of games. I mean, R.C. Buford, after the draft last night, said something like, we've won 128 games, went to the Western Conference Finals with him. It's like, well, yeah, that's great, but you're not going to – I mean, you don't have a shot to win a championship or a title if you've got a guy in your locker room like that. That's disrupting the chemistry and the continuity, and that's an important component for the Spurs and their success.
Interesting. Yeah, and then, you know, like the juvenile stuff or the high school stuff, I read that he unfollowed a bunch of Spurs, and now he's following a bunch of Cleveland Cavaliers, which, you know, people are digging into his social media accounts. And but you're right, though. I mean, the one thing Pop can't have is and he won't have is, you know, toxic situations in the locker room. And if the bridge has been burned for whatever reason, then you probably got to go ahead and see what you can get. But you're right. You don't want to sell low. I mean, you'd rather have sold when you had more leverage.
Right. And, I mean, you know, I was saying before that you can't just get rid of him just to get rid of him. But, I mean, that's, you know, knowing that he's that unhappy and that he's that bad for that locker room, I mean, now you have to get rid of him just for the sake of getting rid of him. So, you know, the chances that they're going to get fair market value for him are pretty low. But, I mean, that's going to be addition by subtraction because, I mean, Kawhi Leonard is the face of that locker room. He's the leader in that locker room. You know, he's the guy that's going to get 20 shots a game. They need a complimentary piece that could, you know, not just a complimentary piece. They need another great player. You know, they need another 20-point scorer to take some of the pressure off of Kawhi. But, you know, that is apparently not going to be LaMarcus Aldridge.
Really interesting.
It's interesting.
So you think it's a done deal, huh? I mean, you think it's just going to happen now. I mean, that's, you know, there's no saving it and salvaging it. What do you make of the Cleveland angle of this? There's talk that Phoenix could be coming in as a third party on that. The Spurs drafted another point guard last night, so they've taken point guards at the back end of the first round back-to-back years. You know, what do you think they would be looking for off that Cleveland roster or looking out at Phoenix?
Well, you know, R.C. Buford is a former college roommate of Bill Self's, and you know, he and Bill Self in Kansas, you know, they have a history together. They also played Bill Self and R.C. at Oklahoma State. I know that the Spurs were big on Josh Jackson. I mean, who wasn't? He was a top four pick. And so I think that's where Phoenix fits in. But I mean, Phoenix would be crazy to trade Josh Jackson for LaMarcus Aldridge, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
And I think that was what the Spurs wanted. The reports yesterday came out that they were trying to get into the top 10 and more specifically into the top 5. And I think they figured, you know, LaMarcus decided on the Spurs over Phoenix. So I think, you know, maybe the Spurs figured that they could sort of rekindle that flame and you know, maximize the pick with Josh Jackson, who they absolutely love. But, you know, Phoenix is a different team now than they were when they were in pursuit of LaMarcus Aldridge a couple of years ago. They were a fringe playoff team. They had some good young players. I think they wanted LaMarcus to come in to mix in and be, you know, the face of the franchise while helping out some of those younger players. But, I mean, they bottomed out since then. You know, they're not a fringe Western Conference playoff team anymore. So, you know, why you would trade a young asset for a 32-year-old with diminishing skills who's, you know, just not had a great reputation for being a great locker room guy, I just don't see it. So, I mean, the thing with Danny Green is you can't trade him because he's so cheap at $10 million a year in this climate of the salary cap is a bargain for a elite perimeter defensive player who's a career 40% three-point shooter. But for them to get rid of LaMarcus, they're going to have to sweeten the pot, and in that case, they're going to have to include a guy like Danny Green. Now, the other part to this, too, is, you know, how attractive of a destination would the Spurs be for Chris Paul if LaMarcus Aldridge isn't here?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things. If Blake Griffin leaves, if DeAndre Jordan leaves the Clippers, you know, we'll see what happens. But I find it hard to believe that Chris Paul would leave $50 million on the table to come to the Spurs with just Kawhi Leonard and not, you know, another piece. There were also rumors last night the Spurs were in pursuit of Paul George. And, I mean, that would be one of those situations where it would be like, we'll trade our guy for a year, you trade your guy for a year, maybe the Spurs include, you know, something to sweeten the pot. But that would be, in my opinion, best case scenario, even if it's just at worst case scenario, just a 1 year rental for them. But I mean, how attractive would that be for Chris Paul then, right? If you have Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and then the potential to add Chris Paul, and I think you have a better chance of keeping Paul George long term, obviously, if you're able to do that. But that seems like a pipe dream at this point. And we'll see, you know, if the Spurs are able to get something of value for the Marcus. But based on reports yesterday, and not just from Stephen A. Smith, but then of course hearing, in my opinion, the more reputable Sam Amick from USA Today Sports, that there's, you know, dissension in that locker room, that there's not a lot of happiness in that locker room from LaMarcus Aldridge's standpoint. They can't go into training camp with LaMarcus Aldridge on their roster.
Well, it's interesting to hear that. I mean, when things don't work out for a player, you get him from Portland, you didn't hear anything about that kind of attitude when he came from Portland. He was the ultimate team guy, couldn't wait to get to be with Pop and the Spurs. And then when it doesn't work out, now all of a sudden the guy is not good in the locker room when he's on his way out and he doesn't play very well. You hear that a lot. So it's hard. I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge, you never heard about him in Portland as being that kind of guy. So why would that all of a sudden happen in San Antonio? Does that surprise you at all?
Well, I'll say this. I mean, there were rumblings that, you know, he was upset about Damian Lillard. There was a story that when LaMarcus came here, there was a story about, you know, a billboard in Portland with Damian Lillard's face on it, and he kind of felt like, you know, when he was first drafted, he was overlooked because of Brandon Roy, and then, you know, he was overlooked after that because of Damian Lillard.
Uh-huh.
You know, again, who knows? I mean, that's just a lot of noise. And Bucky, in my dealings personally with LaMarcus, you know, he's great. He's always willing to talk to the media. He's always open. He's one of the you know, most genuine quotes in that entire locker room. And you know, even after bad games in the regular season, the postseason, he faces the music. He's, you know, he takes responsibility. So I mean, you heard the report before this season started from Jackie McMullen, if you guys can recall, where she said basically this, that he felt he was being underutilized, unhappy, he wanted a trade. And so it was kind of like, all right, well, you know, it's a little bit of noise, but let's see. And you didn't hear anything from him the entire year. You know, there was nothing. So you kind of just figured that it was nothing. And then this stuff starts to boil up again. And, you know, it's not just one person saying it, it's multiple people saying it. And, you know, so in my personal dealings with him, I find it hard to believe. But, you know, I don't think that this is completely out of the ordinary from the perspective of the reputation of a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge.
Ari Temkin, ESPN San Antonio, trying to diagnose that Spurs locker room and what's to come. What do you make of the draft pick, by the way? 29th pick, back-to-back years, they go point guard, a senior out of Colorado, 6'5", combo guard or point guard, Derek White.
Yeah, it's second year in a row they go point guard out of the Pac-12 too, and they, you know, obviously hit decent with DeJounte Murray last year. But I think the thing with Derek White that you like is he's a two-way player, you know. And you know, it's funny because I've spoken in the past with some, you know, draft experts, and you always ask, like, what do you look for in a guy? What's an indicator of success? And a lot of them will say, you know, they have to do one thing really well. I don't care if they do a lot of things. Just what is one skill set they have that's great? What's funny is the Spurs kind of go against the grain in that. They get guys that don't necessarily do one thing great, but do a lot of things pretty good. And White fits that profile. But, I mean, he's a legitimate two-way player. You know, he was the best offensive and defensive player for Colorado this past year. So I think that's a pretty good skill set to work with. And when you're consistently drafting, you know, 28, 29, 20, you know, 27, 28, 29, it's just hard to hit as frequently as R.C. Buford seems to be hitting. So this could potentially be another one, but obviously there's a reason why he was 29.
You know, Ari, I love this, the fact now that, you know, for Kevin Durant going to Golden State was, now people will say it's not really good for the NBA. I'll tell you what it does. It gives a wake-up call to all these other teams that maybe this whole buddy-buddy thing, and let's now go get them, and let's start building teams all over the place and trying to get guys. And I know, as my partner tells me, there's a salary cap. I understand that. But maybe this will toughen up some of these teams to really take this thing serious of not having Golden State win five or six in a row, but get their act together, including the Spurs.
You know, I kind of liken it to, and it's not apples to apples, obviously, but there's a feeling of UConn women's basketball where people always say they're so dominant it's bad for the sport, but yet when they lose, it's the only time people ever really talk about women's college basketball, right? So,
right.
And I think there's a regard there, like you need this dominance that people are going to watch now to see if Golden State's going to lose. And, you know, I do think that they've upped the ante from the standpoint of concentration of talent. So
right.
I do think it will have an effect on the way that we start to see upward mobility for players in the NBA over the next 2 years. If Chris Paul goes to the Spurs, it will be because of that.
Right.
I mean, there's no other reason to leave $50 million in an extra year on the table if you're Chris Paul. So, yeah, I mean, I think certainly would think that we will start to see that. And the other thing we'll start to see is teams maybe potentially, you know, not tank as they've been, but maybe plan more towards the next 5 years to sort of look at a window beyond Golden State. So I think you'll see teams that will participate in this arms race in some regards, and I think you'll see some teams that will sort of pack it in and look at the future and say, you know, the near future where there might be a better window for us.
And your hometown, the Bulls, that might be one of those teams. They just traded Jimmy Butler. What was your take on that?
Goodness.
I don't think they got much. I mean, and that was their best player on both ends.
We talk about LaMarcus Aldridge. I mean, that John Paxson, the Bulls GM, traded LaMarcus Aldridge for Tyrus Thomas on draft day. Here's my question. How many rebuilds does one GM get? How many times do you allow one general manager to rebuild? They're atrocious. They're so poorly run. And if you cover the Spurs and you're a Bulls fan, it's just so obvious to see why they're so bad and will continue to be so bad and why they're still rebuilding 20 years after Michael Jordan retired.
Man.
Hey, Ari, always great. Enjoy your show today. I'm sure it'll be lively and a lot of conversation on LaMarcus Aldridge and everything going on, but appreciate the time this morning.
Bucky, E, Brad, you guys all take care.
Thanks,
Ari. There's Ari Temkin. Interesting there that, you know, Josh Jackson was the apple of Pop's eye, and that's why you heard them talking about maybe trading LaMarcus Aldridge to get into the top four to take Josh Jackson, and now here Josh Jackson goes to Phoenix at four. And now you're hearing Phoenix in these conversations that the Cavaliers and the Spurs are having. So, but I think Ari's right. Why would you give up Josh Jackson, a young asset, when you're a young building team for 32-year-old LaMarcus Aldridge? It's not like you're a piece away in Phoenix from being, you know, Devin Booker's a star, had that 70-point game this year, but an emerging star. But it's going to be interesting to see.
You know what? Danny Ainge was not happy with Josh Jackson. Not even before this whole workout thing. Remember,
Danny Ainge and the Celtics flew across country to work out Josh Jackson, and he no-showed.
He no-showed him. But remember, he had talked about in Boston. They were talking about they didn't like the company that he kept, and they never had any contact with Josh Jackson. That was crazy because it sounded like he's definitely going there. They never had any contact with the dude. They had talked about they didn't like the company that he kept. He didn't show up for a workout. And Danny Ainge just said, no thanks.
Well, look, I think Danny Ainge is on the clock in Boston. I mean, because he's being propped up by his pick of Isaiah Thomas and the fact that he fleeced the Brooklyn Nets for all those picks when they traded the big ticket in Paul Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to do something with him. You know what I mean? I mean, you go look at the picks that he's made so far. I mean, none of these guys have really panned out. They don't have a bunch of superstars on that team. They got a lot of nice players on that roster.
That's what they have, nice players.
But the fact that Minnesota gave up very little, in my mind, to get Jimmy Butler and the Celtics were unwilling to do it still boggles my mind. And I'm not sure what Danny Ainge is doing. I'm not sure what John Paxson and Gar Forman are doing in Chicago. But I like what Minnesota did for sure. And look, now the Spurs are in a spot. Very rarely do the Spurs get into a bad leverage position. But they're in one right now with LaMarcus Aldridge because he is 30-plus. Other teams know that there's acrimony behind the scenes, so they're not going to give you what they normally would. So, you know, we'll see what the Spurs can pull off in this deal. They were trying to get Josh Jackson up front, but Ari's right on, though. If you give up LaMarcus Aldridge and you haven't acquired another piece, does that really make Chris Paul, you know, want to join you? I mean, it's just you and Kawhi. That doesn't do much, and that becomes an issue for sure. So thanks to Ari Temkin. BK, your thoughts on that entire conversation?
It's good stuff from Ari, as always. I mean, I'm not as harsh on Danny Ainge as you guys are. I mean, I think he's just trying to rebuild what the Celtics had back when he was a member of the team. I think he's just trying to keep all these draft picks and wait till LeBron James gets out of the East so it's more winnable. But maybe he just values Gordon Hayward more than Jimmy Butler and wants to go for the future from them, doesn't want to trade. I mean, think about it, guys. Next year, Boston has their own first-round pick. They have Brooklyn's pick.
Wow.
Once again, unprotected, so it could be number one. And they've got the Lakers pick if it falls from 2 to 5, which it very easily could.
Sure.
So they've got another chance to have a phenomenal draft. keep building assets to trade. And if LeBron James does leave next offseason, then the Celtics are the front runners with plenty of picks to use as ammunition to build for now and keep guys for the future.
LeBron James in the Celtics uniform.
No, not saying that.
Wow, come on, man.
No, to where it kind of feels like the 80s, right, with the Boston Celtics, where they had all these great players, and somehow Red was finagling his way into the top five. That's what I think Danny Ainge is trying to recreate.
Come on, E. LeBron James in a Celtic uniform.
Well, but it's not 1980.
Sure, it's a gamble.
And players are coming straight out of high school or pretty much right out of high, I mean, they're 18, 19 years old. You're not sure what they're going to be. It's a much tougher nut. And that's why I think if you can get an established guy like Jimmy Butler, who's still got, you know, seven good years.
Jimmy Butler, my guess is Danny Ainge's thought, Jimmy Butler doesn't put you ahead of Cleveland. It puts you closer, but you guys, if the Celtics had Jimmy Butler, you still wouldn't pick Boston to beat Cleveland.
But if the report was true and all you had to do was give up number three. Well, now what I see what Minnesota gave up.
Well, that's three lottery picks versus one. I mean, I understand Minnesota didn't give up a whole lot, but it had to have been three and
I'm not the
else.
Celtics, but I would have given it up to get Jimmy Butler, and I think that puts you a whole lot closer to Cleveland.
Yeah, but what's the point of being closer if you're not going to beat them? You know,
but
do you win two games next year versus one in the Eastern Conference Finals?
All right, we'll take your thoughts. We're late for the break. Hopefully we can connect with Dave Pels, get some short game tips. Dave Pels the best. Also, this Phil Mickelson Bones, his caddy divorce. What's going on with that? If we can get to Dave Pels on the other side of the timeout. Salacious Gossip, your Blitz on a Friday. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Friday on the Horn, it's B&E, Show of the People, all the way to 10 o'clock with more draft recap, preview of the weekend, which includes TC with the College World Series, Texas Rangers off to the Bronx to see the Aaron Judge and the Yankees. How about Aaron Judge last night? Hit a shot into the Monument Park. Astros are off to Seattle, so busy weekend, and recapping that NBA.
Big, good-looking stud player.
That dude, when he rakes, man, it looks like Mark McGwire.
I know,
prime.
It does, doesn't it?
When he turns on one, he's big and 6'7" like that. Pretty incredible. So we'll pick up that conversation. Mavericks and Spurs and Rockets from last night. And looking forward to a busy weekend and a hot weekend. Going to be 102 today. And we'll hit your gossip and your blitz before the top of the hour. But thrilled to be joined on the Bob Steak and Chop House Hotline with the premier. One of the premier short game gurus in all of golf. Has revolutionized a lot of people's golf games and helped them out. He is Dave Pels, who lives here among us, right here in Central Texas. Dave, how are you?
Right here in Central Texas. Beautiful weather. Doing great.
A little warm, but we'll take it. We know it's June, right? How are you doing?
Good. Good, good. I had the prostate cancer for 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago now, and I'm doing good, just doing my rehab, trying to regain the strength that I lost, but cancer-free and doing feeling good.
Congratulations, Dave.
Glad to hear that.
Continue to pray for you, my friend. It's that time of the year for you, Dave. Your camps are all over Central. They're all over the country right now, the camps and the clinics that you put on.
Yes, we've got schools going in six different locations, so it's a pretty busy time for us, and the tour is busy, and we've had some players coming in here to Austin to work, and I've been having a big time.
Absolutely, and your short game Bible was a New York Times bestseller, and obviously you played college golf and all the stories we've told. But talk to the average hacker out there, because we've got a lot of those guys that listen to us, and you know, your short game clinics and your schools are just such a priority. I go out to the driving range, I see all these guys, you know, working on the long ball, but not a lot of guys over at the chipping and putting green, and that's where the scoring happens.
You know, we've measured around the country. We go to a facility and we measure how many people are on the driving range hitting full swing power shots, hitting them as far as they can with whatever club they have. Then we go to the putting green and we find 1/20th of that number, whatever that number is. It's about 5%. And then we go to the wedge area, if there is one, and we find almost no one ever. So it's a very strange thing in that 2/3 of the shots of golf are inside of 100 yards, and 80% of the shots lost to par are inside of 100 yards, yet only about 5% of the practice is inside of 100 yards. Most people want to hit it far. They want to go to the range and learn how to hit the first two shots. They kind of ignore the next three.
Yeah, and David, here's what I found out now. I'll be 62 next Thursday. Lengthwise, I'm only going to hit it about 190 or 195 in the air. It may roll a little bit. And I have trouble getting to regulation greens all over all the places. I still play from the one before the championships tour. I'm not going to move up to the white tees. My pace of play is really still good. I'm not moving up to the white tees till I'm 70. So I'm not going to get
stubborn. Man.
I'm just stubborn, but I'm not going to get on greens and regulations. So I'm still going to be around the green in two. You can still score if you work on your short game. You can get things inside the leather. You can get them inside of 6 feet, where if you're a good putter, you can still score by not even getting on in regulations, correct?
Absolutely. You can get it up and down consistently between 70 and 85%. I mean, that's possible. You can never get them all up and down, but I have measured players that have got them. My best ever was Kite getting up and down 85% of the time inside of 60 yards. So he did that for a few years consecutively. Was a wonderful, wonderful short game player. Mickelson has been close to that. You might know another name, Dallas Boy, D.A. Wibring was close to that. He was 81%. But that's possible. You can get 4 out of 5, you know, you can do it. So you got to work on it now. You got to practice it and got to be sharp. Because on a short game shot, you not only have to make the right swing to hit a good shot, but you have to land it the right place. You have to have read the green so that it reacts on the ground the proper way, which you don't have to do with an 8-iron or a drive. You just basically have to land it in the right place, and you'll usually be okay. But short game, the reaction on the ground is about half the shot. So it does take some practice.
Dave Pelz is with us, and you not only do you have the short game clinics that you offer, but you also, your company, you've got the you can put in those, like you have in your backyard, those turf greens and chipping areas where you can actually, instead of having to go to the driving range, you can actually work on 2/3 of the game in your own backyard if you've got the space.
You know, that's what I'm doing right now. As I've recovered, you think you've lost some, at the high 60s, you've lost some distance. I've lost a ton of distance off my tee shot, and I do have a little range in my backyard where I can hit tee balls, and I know I've lost about 50, 60 yards off my drive, off my best drives. And, of course, I don't hit very many good ones now even. I'm starting to build back up, and I am starting with a short game because you don't really lose anything there other than your touch and your stamina. So I can hit my short game shots as far as I need to. The question is, can I, you know, put the right spin on them? Can I land them in the right place? Can I read it? I'm working on that so that later this summer, I'm going to work all summer, and hopefully by the end of this year, I'll be back to where I was before I got cancer, and that's my goal. I want to be as sharp as I can be inside of 100 yards and then let the strength come back. I am actually doing some, first time in my life, I'm lifting a few weights because I can hardly lift the darn things. And I need to get a little bit of strength so I can swing the driver a little better.
David, for the folks that you've been working with, Phil, obviously some of the guys you've worked with in your lifetime, are there any young guns that have now starting to come to you, some of these guys we may know?
Well, Patrick Reed is one of my new students, and I'm really excited about that because he just signed on maybe a month ago. And he's apparently had a pretty bad year going in his own estimation. But I've been working, well, I guess, twice now and looking forward to more. But his short game is really good. I think he's going to be a wonderful player.
Yeah, no, he's one of the young guns who's, he'll finish one of these deals coming up. Dave Pelz is with us. You know, Phil Mickelson's your most famous student. Well, maybe Tom Kite in these parts. But, Phil, what did you make of the announcement of he and his caddy, you know, deciding to part ways after 25 years? Steve, Bones and he making the decision.
Yeah, well, listen, Phil is absolutely the best short game player I've ever worked with and probably ever will, because I don't see anybody catching him in the immediate future. He's so good and a great guy. I've loved it. I'm in my 14th year with him, so I'm really pleased. We've worked a couple of years and just talked last week, so everything's good there. Bones is the best caddy I've ever known, of being with Phil for 14 years now. Of course, Bones was there the whole time until last week, I guess. And it's quite a surprise because I think so highly of both of them It's just, it's like a marriage. It's tough to keep everything together that long. And they say it's just time. I don't know exactly what happened or what caused it or what I have no comment on that because I love them both. They are both great human beings. And they've been one heck of a team for a long time.
You know, it's not unusual, the fact that, that Phil's getting a little older. He may be playing in less tournaments. And as a caddy, with all these young superstars coming up, I mean, a caddy can continue to caddy for a long time.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Fluff is out there with Furyk.
Yeah.
And Fluff, man, I don't know how he gets around because he's had leg and knee problems. You know, Bones had both knees operated on last year, so he's had some real problems. But those bags are heavy. I mean, I caddied for Jack Lemmon in the AT&T Pro-Am trying to help him make the cut for the last 8 years of his life, and his bag was so darn heavy. I had my wife going outside the ropes with us every round carrying some of the stuff that he normally keeps in his bag just to take the weight out. He wanted, he had spare sweaters and rain suits and towels, and he had 2 dozen balls, and he had 1,000 black tees. I don't know if you ever knew that or not, but those big, large freezer bags, the large ones, I mean, like
yes.
10 by 12 inches, full of black tees, because he never picked up a tee. He hit it, and boy, once he hit it, he said, that thing's dirty, I'm not going to mess with it.
One-time use for the golf tee. Dave Pels is with us. Hey, Dave, tell folks about the short game clinics and how they can be a part of them if they want to invest the time and really start to grind down on that short game. As you say, two-thirds of the shots are within 100 yards, and it's so important to know what you're doing, and even when you go to practice, to know how to practice properly.
Well, we do. We do 3 hours of putting in the morning and 3 hours of wedge work in the afternoon, and it's a one-day clinic, and we have them all over the country. In the summertime, because some of our permanent facilities, Boca Raton, Florida, it's a little bit warm down there. And then Palm Springs, California, it's very warm, especially this year. And so our instructors travel, and they come here in Austin to Escondido. And it's a wonderful, it's a private club with a wonderful short game facility. I love it. It's where I actually play golf. I'm a member there. And I love it. It's a Fazio course and wonderful practice facilities. But the main thing is to learn what you need to get better in putting and the wedge game. And that's what we try to do in a one-day clinic. It's 6 hours of work, 3 a.m, 3 p.m, with a lunch in between. And we try to give you a roadmap of what to work on when you leave. And if you then go practice the right things, you will get better. And if you get better in your short game, I promise you, your scores will go down.
Dave, we appreciate it. We're so glad you're in good health and you're fighting your way back to full strength. And that's your goal for the end of the summer. And we appreciate the visit this morning.
Thank you so much, David.
My pleasure. It's always good to talk to you all.
All right. Dave Pels, living right here in Austin, Texas, or Central Texas. One of the great short game teachers, if not the best short game teacher of all time.
You know, we'll find a way on the next week, E, to give away one of his short game.
I want it.
400. No, you can't have it.
What do you mean?
I have two of them. I have one is $399. How about if I give away one
How
of those next week?
Your boy over here.
Your boy can go. We'll make a phone call. Look at. There's
Come
a BK
on,
back there pointing to himself.
3 hours of putting?
I've got all of Dave Pelz's wedges. He uses Bobby Jones wedges, and those are the ones that my bag is filled with. But he also gave me about 6 wedges for the Mullet Open.
Well, it's so right, though. If you go to the driving range, no one's working on the short game. Very few people.
No.
My problem is when I do try to cut the time out to go work on it, I don't know if I'm doing it right. Right? I mean, there's all the little hints. I mean, the hands and the stance. And, you know, that's the one thing I think about a clinic that I would absolutely love is just once I leave, okay, here's how you do it. Now go practice that. Because one of the things I think a lot of amateur golfers, and me included, get into is every time you go out and work on short game, you're doing it a little bit differently. You've played so long that you got one way of
doing
it.
Well, I have to because, like I said, I don't have the length anymore. So around the greens, I have to try to get that thing within 6 feet every single time. And the thing about it is you have to read the greens on your chips now.
5-foot putts are not certain for me. I got to get the putts down, too. But we'll figure that out. We'll give one of those away next week. Yep. To one of you hackers out there. We appreciate Dave Pelz and his time and interesting thoughts on Phil Mickelson. I tend to think that's kind of it, that Bones is going to jump on a young guy's bag and
sure.
be able to caddy for the next 10, 12
years. And
Phil
may not play as many tournaments
right.
anymore.
And Phil's in his mid-40s. I mean, it's just, that's – and Bones still looks to be in good shape.
He had two knee replacements. He did them at the same time.
Well, he's ready to be a pack mule and lug that bag.
Good God.
Get on one of these young guys' bags and help them win some majors.
I should have asked Dave about Patrick Reed. We need him to be the bad guy. You need to turn him mean.
The villain?
Yes, he needs to be the villain.
Maybe he'll get Bones.
Nice.
We'll be back. Salacious gossip and your blitz, a little up against the clock, but appreciate Dave Pelz. We'll tell you how you can win that short game clinic next week. Also, be listening all next week. Remember, start giving away those Dave Campbell's Texas football magazines on this show and all the shows here on the Horn. And also tell you how you can be a part of Bucky's birthday party next Thursday. We had Wayne Miller from Louis Miller Barbecue with us earlier. We're doing that next Thursday. We're coming back. Salacious Gossip, your blitz on a Friday, on a fun Friday.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Salacious Gossip. Yesterday, BK bailed out because he wasn't feeling good. Adam Wagner jumped in, and we just butchered the blitz. So let's see if we can do it better on a Friday.
And if we don't, we could always get rid of it because we don't have any problems getting rid of it. We're not like the afternoon. If we don't like it, we can get rid of it.
Yeah, 447-3776. Salacious Gossip first, though, brought to you by Bud Light. Remember, Budweiser, a proud supporter of Honor Flight and Honor Flight Austin. We absolutely love those folks. Get out there and pick up those American Camo aluminum bottles all summer long, and it all benefits. A portion of that proceeds goes to Honor Flight Austin, also on the national level to Folds of Honor. It's a great way to enjoy your ice-cold Budweiser throughout the summer and help our veterans. Honor Flight Austin. Appreciate them so much. Hey, how about this? I got to get you this story. I told you yesterday, but now I did a little digging. A prominent lifestyle blogger in France has died in a household accident after a whipped cream dispenser exploded. I hear this thing. What is she doing with this whipped cream? This is a little bit, something graphic going on here.
Risque.
No. Turns out Rebecca Berger is her name. As you can see her right there, Buck. She's quite lovely.
She is.
Quite lovely.
That's a lovely woman.
Oh, hey.
What a beautiful woman.
She's 32. She's a lifestyle blogger. So people go to her account and they want to learn how to look like her and have a butt like her and her yoga pants and things like that and what to eat, what not to eat, I guess. I don't know. But she suffered cardiac arrest after a piece of the exploding device struck her in the chest.
Oh.
Yeah, man. And look, you see the picture of this. One of those plastic contraption.
CO2 cartridge there.
Well, that's how you get the whipped cream to come out. The whipping cream. So it turns out that this happened to someone else in 2013, injured by the same type of exploding ice cream dispenser.
Why are we not knowing about this stuff?
This person told a radio station over there in France that I had 6 broken ribs and my sternum was broken. At the hospital, I was told if the shock and the blast had been facing the heart, I would have been dead.
Somebody about to get sued.
Jeez. What are you, putting whipped cream on your stuff with a hand grenade?
Wow.
It's like a pipe bomb.
That's a horrible story.
She's a lovely lady.
It's a horrible story.
Whippets, baby. That's what that guy says. Let's go to your blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
Friday Blitz is generally horrible. First Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, LaMarcus, don't go to Cleveland. You'll get Kardashian.
Yeah, that looks like that could be open market for him to go to, though. Could
talk
be.
Of a 3-team deal with Cleveland and San Antonio, Phoenix. We'll see.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Bucky, I got a little background noise for you regarding the Lonzo LeVar Ball trade. But, hey, just want to let you know, I picked up my shoes at Walmart for $42.95. How's that?
$42.95? Cut it out.
$495, and they'll promise to get them to you by February.
That's when you can pick up the shoes if you pay that much cash for them?
That's their guarantee. If you order them today, you'll get them by February.
It's crazy.
Even in time for Christmas.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, I know I wasn't invited yet, but what time am I supposed to be there for the birthday party Thursday?
Next. Hey, Blind Sean, if you can find your way here, you're invited, my friend.
Let's go! Did you just say if you can find your way here?
What do you mean?
We just don't let up on anybody.
What do you mean?
He gets around fine.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
He can find his way around. I mean, he's not going to stumble into a ditch, although he has before.
It's just a figure of speech. You know, if you can make your way here, find your way here, then you're welcome to come to the birthday party.
What is he, Colt McCoy? It's finding leaves on trees?
Well, I don't know.
But Sean has had some, you know, fallen in ditches and things, too.
Well, yeah, he's blind. And I don't know that the bus comes out this way.
Oh, that's true. Sorry
about
that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I got you.
If he can get a ride.
Yeah, that's true.
Somebody's have to drive him here.
Wife drive him out.
She can come, too.
You're just invited to, see?
Well, that's what we want, is all the people that love you most at your birthday party, first since you were 10 years old. We'll be back. More NBA draft talk. Also, the weekend in baseball that's on tap. And, this is going to make Bucky really, really angry. Really, really frustrated. We're coming back. Beanie on the Horn.